Welcome. This is the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thank you for joining us. Hope all of you are in your places with bright, shining faces, as they say. A bit of an effort in the St. Louis metro area. Get into work this morning, just as I was taking the kids out the door. Freezing rain, sticking all over the car, making it difficult to get the doors open. Oh, there's more to come. It's just the start of the season. I have to keep reminding myself all things from God are considered to be good gifts, right, Pastor Dieterding?
Including, oh, absolutely.
Including freezing rain. This is a
That's the thing. You know, that's the thing I don't miss about that area when I used to live down there.
Yeah.
Is being able to try and get into your car when there's like a half an inch of ice that's sealing it shut.
That's kind of what we're, I don't know we're going to get that much, but it's going to be like that throughout the day today.
It is. It can be frustrating. Yeah, in that case, I think I'd prefer the snows.
Well, yes. I would agree with you. Pastor Curtis Dieterding is my guest this morning from Trinity Lutheran Church in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, and you get to work with Romans chapter 15. You get to launch us into a new chapter today. We're going to look at verses 1 to 3. Much like yesterday, Paul seems to be repeating himself a bit again here.
Yeah, you're making this sound so exciting. I'm already getting excited about jumping into this chapter now.
Well, let me tell you what's exciting. I put a little blurb up on Facebook this morning. I've been promoting these things and trying to get some interest up, and we're getting quite a following here on the Bible Study on Facebook. And my question is this. When Paul says that we are supposed to bear with the failings of our weaker brother, does that mean we're supposed to put up with his stupidity? There's your excitement
course,
for the day, Pastor Dieter.
Of course, we're saying that tongue-in-cheek as though I'm not stupid at all.
Oh, no.
No, it's all him.
No. Well, that's the problem. We always manage to look outside of ourselves, assuming that we are not. You know, we are always the Pharisee. We are never the tax collector.
You know, this is important, though, because, you know, behind all of this is that gift that God is asking us to grow in as Christians called humility. And it does take a certain amount of humility to humble ourselves to really practice what Paul is asking us to do here.
Well, let's pray about that as we begin the lesson this morning.
You bet. Lord, as we come before you again, we surely give you thanks and praise for all that you have given to us and the blessings, not only day-to-day in the daily bread that you provide, but also the wonderful eternal blessings that we receive through the one that we're anticipating to celebrate the coming of, that is, the Prince of Peace himself, Christ Jesus, our Lord. We thank you for the new relationship we have with you through the new clothes that we received, the spiritual clothes of righteousness, and all that God has given to us in making us right with him in our relationship. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins, for salvation and eternal life. As we continue to grow in that grace, we pray that as we approach your word, we may grow again in the knowledge of what you would have us be and do as your people who have been made right with you through Jesus. We ask that where we have failed and where we've fallen way short, we pray for your forgiveness and that your strength would be with us, your spirit would continue to help us to move ahead and to be a part of the work that you have given us to do together. And that is the care of one another and serving you. We praise this all in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to join us this morning, 1-800-730-2727. Or if you're in the St. Louis metro area, try 821-0850. The email server is up and running. I can see as I lean over here that all the lights are green. If you want to get an email to us, KFUO at KFUO.org. All right, as I said, chapter 15, we begin today at verse 1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. And that is the text for today. Well, you know, Pastor Dieterding, the joy of being an admittedly recovering sinner and doing a program like this is a there's lots of material for a text like this.
Oh yes, you know? Yeah, and you know, as you know, we're only looking at three verses here, and they're just absolutely packed. And so,
because you know, I get what Paul is saying here. I know Paul is right in what he is saying here. I just don't want to admit it.
Well, absolutely. That's our nature. That's who we are. You know, in our sinful battle. You know, we're trying to. You know, on the one hand, you know, our desires have changed from serving ourselves and our sinful nature and our desires and lusts to trying to learn what this whole life of humility is about, to be able to grow as a child of God, to take up our cross, to lay down our life. What all does that look like? What all does that mean? And Paul, in a lot of his letters to the different churches, was trying to explain to us what God's will is for us now as people who are living in this new relationship, being new people in Christ. And so, you know, what does that mean to, you know, bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves? You know?
Yeah,
we've
yeah.
been there. We've done that. We know what it's like. You know, you'd think that we would learn what that's all about, this being weak in our failings.
But why does Christ demand denial of the self? You know, when do I get some me time? I don't want to sound like a whiny baby boomer, but when do I get some me time? And whatever happened to all this business about my burden is light? This is hard stuff.
It is hard stuff. And, you know, it's hard in the sense that we... Like I said, you know, what you're saying there, what's behind what you're saying is, I need this me time. Well, is me time based on me yet, or is it me time based on what I can do to serve my Lord and others?
Well, tell me why self-denial is a joyful thing, because so far in my experience, it's kind of painful.
Well, self-denial can be a joyful thing if indeed you truly are grasping all that Christ has done for you. You know, if you can see what his suffering and his trial has brought to you. And Paul, in turn, when he's talking about his suffering and his trial, also rejoices in it. And to be able to understand that, you need to be about the business of doing it. And you're never going to get there if you continue to cling to everything that's in your selfish nature.
But, you know, if the phone rings and I look at the cell phone and I see that it's Pastor Curtis Dieterding's phone number.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to answer it because you're a good guy. I like you. You come on the Bible study. We have great conversations about biblical texts. There's some phone numbers I'm going to look at and go, nah, silence. And the problem is Paul's not letting me silence those calls. He's telling me that I have to be this way towards everybody, not just the folks that I like.
Right.
That's
right.
The hard part.
And
people that really, really annoy you, you have to be this way towards them.
Especially the one that calls you and you just really don't want to answer that phone.
I mean,
especially that person. I get this a lot in my office where people will come in and they will whine and complain about somebody in the congregation or somebody that they know within their family. And it's usually all them, you know. They're telling me it's all them. Like, really?
Well, it is. So,
but you know what's amazing, and it never surprises me, is I'll ask the question, well, when was the last time you talked? Oh, Pastor, you can't talk to them. You can talk to your blue in the face. They're never going to get this. And I'm like, well, when was the last time you talked to them? Well, it's been a while. I don't even know. I'm like, okay, there's usually the problem right there, is that we don't want to confront it. And confrontation is opportunity, is a blessing, according to even what Christ Jesus tells us. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, when people actually do take that step as a Christian brother or sister, being ready and open to repent, confess, forgive, whatever needs to be done in that relationship, and you will find that those people will come back and go, "Wow, Pastor, you know this. I'm really glad you encouraged me to do that. I said we prayed about that. You know, we prayed that the Lord would be the encourager in this, and we continually need to be about that business of humbling ourselves to the point of being able to confront one another in our sin, to be able to get that out of the relationship. How can you get it out of the relationship if you just ignore it? You can't. So you have to, and I know that maybe that's a little bit off of what we're doing here, but still, you know, this is part of when we look at each other and we see our failings. That failing usually is the result of sin. So,
when Paul starts the 15th chapter by writing, "We who are strong," who is the we, and strong in what way?
Well, strong in their relationship with Christ, those who are truly growing in the faith. Paul, you know, Paul experienced different levels of where people were in the relationship with Christ in their walk with the Lord. And so there are some who are new to the faith, some who are, you know, on the verge of believing. They're not quite there. They're joining, you know, they're kind of coming, they're listening. So it's really the kind of the spiritual milk meat kind of comparison there, where, you know, those who have grown into the faith are those who are stronger they should be stronger, you know, and part of that strength is being able to humble yourself, being able to actually bear the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves, to be able to set what pleases us aside for the benefit of hopefully our brother or sister not only knowing Christ, but actually being able to grow in that relationship as well.
So give me an example of what someone like that looks like. Tell me what their worldview is like, if somebody actually lives as Paul is commending we should live.
Well, it would be one who...
I thought you would have said, well, look at me.
No. No. You mean myself?
You, yes.
Well, you know, that's tempting.
I mean, you're a pastor. Shouldn't you be living like this?
Well, you would hope. You would hope. But, you know, what a lot of people don't realize is that even as pastors or even as the head of the synod, you know, or even as a professor at the seminary or whoever you have with all the degrees behind your name, they're all struggling. Every one of us are struggling against this nature to please ourselves. You know, it's going to always be with us. It's always there haunting us and trying to lure us, you know, away from what God is calling us to be and to do. And, you know, I know people are looking at that going, well, how can I give my whole life to everybody else and not take care of myself? Well, actually, if you're doing it in a way that is God-pleasing, actually that is serving your neighbors, serving your family, serving, you know, those within your church family and outside here in your community, if you're living your life as God wills you to live it, as a child of God, as a follower of Christ, then you will actually see the joy and actually experience all that God wants you to experience in serving Him. And sometimes that might mean suffering. It might not be always joyous. There may be some trial that you'll need to go through and some real sacrifice on your part in order to do. And that's where it really comes down. That's what it really comes down to. You know, how much are you willing to sacrifice, you know, of yourself, your time, your effort, your energy, you know, for others, that they might be eternally saved. You know, and that's the key right there, you know. How much urgency is there really in our hearts and in our minds for our brothers and sisters who might even be weaker, you know, in not living that faith in relationship with God as God is calling us to do? And that's where the judgment comes in, not on me, on somebody else, but by God's word, you know, where is God asking us to be?
Now, I knew this was going to generate a lot of phone calls today, so let me give out the numbers again. 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, because the phone lines, we got a couple of lines open. If you've got a question or comment, get in now, get in early, and that way we'll get you in line to talk to Pastor Dieterding. Let's go to Cheryl first, who's in Indianapolis. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. We don't have the storm yet.
Well, it's coming. So, be patient.
Yes, I know. I was looking at verse 1, to bear with the failings of the weak.
Yes.
And it reminded me of 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I really admire the people that care for the faith of the aging because there are a lot of anxieties associated with aging, the hearing loss. If you have Alzheimer's, you have a loss of mental clarity, and I'm trying to help my mom, but I'm 2 years younger than she is, so I am strong compared to her. I just really admire the people that do this professionally and consistently. And so,
Pastor, jump in.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a little talk about the physical there too, as far as being physically stronger too, and in some cases that plays into it as well. You know, when I look at this passage, you know, things that came to my mind right away are like Philippians chapter 2, where, you know, Paul is actually talking to the Christians there in Philippi about, and that word humility comes up in those verses, you know. He's basically saying to be like-minded, having the same love. And then it says, do not do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only at your own interest, but also at the interest of others. And I believe there's a connection there with Paul, and also in 1 Corinthians 12, where he's talking about we all have a role in this body of Christ. We're not all an eye, we're not all a foot, we're not all one part of the body. Together, we are different parts, and we all have different roles. And he talks about, you know, the less honorable parts. Of course, we're not sitting here in the church and we're trying to actually point fingers at each part and say, okay, well, you must be one of the more weak parts of the body. And I believe you're more of a stronger part because, well, we have a criteria laid out. That's not what this is about. It's about, are we living our lives as God wills us to live in Christ Jesus? And that would be things like what the caller just said, you know, taking care of family, especially when there are needs there that need to be met, instead of just caring about yourself, let somebody else care about them. You know, that there is a spirit of who we are as God's people in actually taking on whatever comes into our lives and whatever God gives us as far as the strength to suffer and bear one another's burdens.
Anything else, Cheryl?
No, thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Another good one. Thank you for the questions. 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. Well, let me ask you this, Pastor Dieterding. You know, we're not supposed to be selfish. Paul has been very clear on that. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be self-sacrificing. You've pointed that out also. And we're supposed to be doing this for the sake of the weaker brother. But what do you do with a brother who's content in being a weakling? How long are we supposed to put up with that?
Well, again, we don't have control over one another. We're very aware of that.
Isn't that frustrating?
Yeah, well, that's the way it is.
It's just so darn frustrating.
Because of our sinful nature. But these are times when we need to call upon strength outside of ourselves, and that's why prayer is so important. It's an important part of our lives, of actually bearing with others who need that kind of strength and need that kind of help. We know where it comes from. It comes through God and His working through His Word and sacrament in that person's life. And so we need an extra maybe portion of patience to get through those times too. Ultimately, God is the judge, and I don't believe that that's the point here. The point here is to, once we've identified these people or within our, and we might be one of those people. You know, we need to ask ourselves that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
some
true.
Of the listeners that are here today listening, you know, where would we consider ourselves? Do we feel that we're on the strong end of things here when it comes to being an example of Christ, or are we on the weaker end? And we need more strength, and we need to continually ask God to help us become stronger in what we do and who we are as His children.
If I can sort of drag you into the confessional for a moment.
Okay.
You know the thing about doing this program, this Bible study program, is the more that I learn, just when I start thinking I'm strong, I start to realize just how weak I really am.
And that's a blessing, actually.
It is?
I mean, it really is, because that's why whenever you ask me, well, why don't you give yourself an example, you know, I'm like, whoa. You know, Paul would say, you know, I am the weakest, I am the most sinful, I am the greatest of sinners, you know. The one who is probably stronger probably does recognize that. I'm not going to personally identify myself that way, because this is God ultimately that sees that. But Paul definitely is talking to a group of people, and those who genuinely are living that life are humble enough to know that they are truly stronger in the sense of having a relationship that definitely seeks to live for the Lord in comparison. You can see it in the lives of people, but you know, Paul's very careful not to be specific about that. You can see he's left it very broad here. But truly, if you're growing in God's grace and you're growing in His Word, you're going to understand these words better, I think, than if we're weak and we're just kind of struggling with what is Paul talking about here. So you're bringing up points where you are identifying what you believe Paul is talking about whenever he says we who are strong in comparison to those who are weak.
Weak, yeah. So give me a distinction between loving someone and liking someone, because Paul seems to be saying that I'm compelled to be in a relationship with people I don't like.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Loving, you know, we have such a distortion of what love is in our society that it's just hard to even wrap our minds around what this kind of love is that God talks about as far as, you know, that He so loved the world that He gave His only Son. You know, what's that? What kind of love is that? Love one another as I have loved you. No greater love has any man shown than to lay down his life for his friends. I mean, that kind of love is a love that is it's connected to all the characteristics that demonstrate the kind of love that's this. Well, we call it agape, of course, in the scripture, a love for brother, which is shown through things like compassion. The fruits of the Spirit, really, you know, gentleness, patience, forbearance, you know, all of these things are tied in with what it means to truly love someone. It's what moves you inside your heart and your mind, deep in your soul, to really be there when others need you, you know, and to be there especially for those who are weak in any relationship with their Lord, you know, that are like borderline, whether or not they're even, I mean, the weakest of the weak would probably be those who are just, you know, yeah, I know what you're saying, I know that Jesus is my Savior, I know what that talk is all about, and I got the formula down, I got that part of my life taken care of, but I'm going to go ahead and live my life this way anyway, which hasn't really grasped all of what it means to truly believe what Christ has done for you and what that means as far as impacting change in your life. And this is all about that. That's what Paul's talking about here.
Now, we've got about a minute before we go to the break, Pastor Dieterding. Is the church supposed to be a happy place?
The church is supposed to be a place that rejoices in doing work together that glorifies God, that walks hand in hand with what Christ has done. And you know what? If you're ready to really do the work that Christ has done, be ready for some work that might not be all that joyful. Be ready for some really work that's suffering. But you know, that's the key here. Look at even Hebrews chapter 12. Jesus saw the cross as a place of joy to suffer for us. I mean, that's an amazing thing. When you look at that, you understand that joy is found in things that might not always be pleasing and pleasant for us, but that joy is found in what we are doing for others and what we are doing for the Lord. And the ones that really understand that are those who truly are living that way, truly have seen what it means to actually lay down our life for our friends, to lay down our life for Jesus, and to live for Him.
Pastor Dieterding will be back in just a moment with more of the Bible study. Today it's Romans verses, chapter 15, verses 1 to 3. The break is a great time to call in, 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be right back. Stick around.
When Jesus tells us to pray, "Father, give us today what we need for today," he's not focusing on the stuff so much, but the trust that you can have with the Father who knows what you need, who sent his Son so that you can have abundant, joy-filled life in him, even being conduits of his abundance for others.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Live Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss 4th century Bishop Ambrose of Milan with Dr. Bill Weinrich. We'll continue our series on Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, and we'll talk to Pastors Michael Walther and John Feeney about John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Becoming a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor is easy in the 21st century. First, pick a reason to celebrate, a birthday, an anniversary, or other event, and call me, Mary Schmidt, or Joni Harwell at 1-800-844-0524. For helping support the worldwide outreach of KFUO, you'll receive announcements on KFUO for a special date honoring your day sponsorship. Call us at 1-800-844-0524.
Welcome back. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. It's Romans 15, verses 1 to 3 with Pastor Curtis Dieterding this morning, who serves at Trinity Lutheran Church in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. I'm Roland Lettner. I'm your host. Thank you for being with us today. Hey, can I distract for just a moment? I don't know if you're familiar, Pastor Dieterding, with the National Lutheran Choir. Are you familiar with them?
I've heard of them.
You have heard of them?
I've never actually heard them, though.
Well, they're coming to St. Louis. I know that's a distance from where you are in Minnesota, but they're going to have two performances on Saturday, December 21st here in the St. Louis area. It's a Treasured Christmas Festival is what it's called, a celebration of light, featuring both well-known music and including some Midwestern premieres by Kevin Siegfried and Tom Traney. There's going to be carols and anthems and poetry and all sorts of good stuff going on. If you want to get in on that concert, if you're in the St. Louis metro area or can travel here for those two performances, one at 2 p.m. and one at 5 p.m. on December 21st of this year, you can get more information at NALC.com. NALC, that's National Lutheran Choir, NALC.com. But here's the good news. If you've not heard of this, now, of course, you're disqualified because you're the guest. I'm sorry. But I have a CD called Emmanuel, the National Lutheran Choir, and it has, the Virgin Mary Had a Baby Boy and Serenity and Alleluia, Carol of the Bells, all sorts of favorites, wonderful music. If you would like this CD, 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. I have one, so I don't know. We'll let Jenny decide who gets it. But if you want to call in now, she'll figure that out. Maybe the next caller. We've got a couple of folks on hold, but we'll get to your calls also. But the very next caller at 1-800-730-2727, 821-0850, we will send you this CD. And Joni Harwell will make sure that that gets to you in prompt fashion so that you can enjoy it for this Christmas season. You know, as we went to the break, Pastor, and thank you for letting me take that moment, Pastor.
Sure.
I appreciate that. If you strive to first make the church a happy place, will you ever succeed in making the church a happy place?
I guess my question would be, where did you come up with that goal? Because if you're in the Word of God, I'm not sure that I see that anywhere as part of who we are as God's people working together. So I guess I'd be struggling with that as a goal for the church.
Well, but don't you, if you look out, you know, cast your gaze broadly across the American church, isn't much of it preoccupied with being happy?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, if you're going to look at the whole landscape of the Christian church today in America, yeah, I mean, you know, healthy, wealthy, and wise. I mean, there's a lot of that being propagated through a lot of the language in the sermons. A lot of those who are preaching, especially, you know, the big churches, the big churches that are out there, the television churches, I should say, usually there's a lot of that kind of thinking in the background. I mean, the understanding that that's behind all this is, you know, if you are truly being faithful, right, as a servant of God, and you're doing what God wants you to do, He's going to bless you with these wonderful things. Life will be just hunky-dory in this world for you. But if you look at all the stories in the Bible, you see almost the opposite happening most of the time for those who are being faithful to the task of what God is asking them to do. People like Jeremiah and Jonah and a lot of the different prophets, Jesus himself who was crucified, Paul and all the suffering he went. I mean, if you look at the scripture, this is not who God is asking us to be. This is not one of the priorities that is to be in our lives. In fact, it's almost the opposite should bring us joy. A true joy that is experienced inside of us as a result of maybe suffering and really carrying another's burden. I mean, to the point that you're right there feeling the pain of it. And it takes a lot to get to that point. But, you know, the more we're in the Word, the more our lives will be shaped by that Word to know what God wants us to be and do truly as His people and as a church. And I'm sorry, but I don't see that we are seeking to be joyful, self-pleasing people here in the body of Christ. I don't see it.
We've gotten an email. I'm not going to use the name because the person requests we not do so, but here's what they write in. I have a question about where this falls within shaking the dust off your feet and moving on. There are some people that just do not want to be loved, and I have trouble showing love to those, and that is the question.
How
do you do that? I guess
a different audience there. It's a very different circumstance because I mean they're walking into villages and towns of people that are not going to really know the gospel at all. Compared to Paul is talking to those within the church here. We see that with the context of how this is being written, you know, I mean, Paul has been talking about our relationship with one another and with our brother up to this point. So this is a very different circumstance. I mean, that would be my answer to that particular question. And
which is why you have to be careful with Scripture, because I might be prone to say, well, yeah, that's a great bit of advice. Just shake the dust off your feet. Be indifferent towards them. They don't like you. You don't like them. We're all just trying to get along here, so I will be ambivalent towards you, Pastor Dieterding. I just won't talk to you. I'll just sit in church, do my thing, and avoid any contact with you whatsoever.
Yeah, that was a specific instruction for a specific circumstance, you know, at that time and that place. And, you know, to sit there and try to mesh everything within the Scripture to try to understand when we do something like that, you know, you can't really bring it all together. You kind of have to look at other circumstances that would be similar to that one. Then that kind of a question would be legit, you know, on just going out and actually doing mission work and actually, you know, at what point. I mean, there was a point where Paul was told not to go somewhere, you know, by the Spirit, and so he didn't. We're never really given the explanation of why do you do that? Why do you kick the dust? Why do you knock the dust off your feet and move on? Why wasn't he allowed to go into this part of the world to bring the gospel at that point in time? We're not going to have the answers to all of those questions, but those who are faithful to the task of what God is asking us to do through the power of His Spirit, that's where we need to be as a church.
Yeah, and I can be sympathetic with the listener who wrote in because, you know, well, I don't want to say that I'm hung up on this, you know, sacrificing for the weaker brother. I do get it. And like I confessed earlier, I may not like it, but I get it. But the thing is, I know God changes hearts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't He change a few personalities along with that?
Well,
see, and that's the hard part.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And of course, you know, there's not a specific answer given to that, other than the fact that, just as I've said, you know, the way in which we are instructed to grow together, to build one another up, to grow in this unity of the Spirit, to grow in the bond of peace, and all these things where we're told, you know, how we're going to grow together
right. In
this body is through what we learn in the Word of God. And if we start coming up with goals and objectives that are self-pleasing and self-serving, we are far from what God is asking us to do right away. If you're in the Bible, you know that. If you're not in the Bible, you wouldn't know that. And so these sound like legitimate and rational ways to conduct our lives.
Yeah.
Maybe off of hearing a verse here or hearing a verse there and, doing the Archie Bunker translation of those verses to please ourselves, because that's exactly what he used to do. You know, he had it all figured out because he had his own, really his own commentary that he developed in his own head, which was really self-serving.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean,
yeah,
that's a good way to look at it.
See, I have tried since the start of the program to get you to give me some license to do things my way, and you're just not giving it to me.
Sorry, I don't.
And
I don't
it's
have,
Christmas
all, I'm
time
not
too.
God, and I don't have that power. But the other thing is that God does show us, and He does talk to us about what, you know, what He's anticipating and expecting us to be and to do, if we are to follow His will according to His word.
All right, let's go back to the phones. I know we've got callers that want to get in on this. Lois, good morning. You're next. Congratulations on getting that CD from the National Lutheran Choir.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you, Pastor Dieterding, for being there and for taking my call this morning.
Absolutely.
And I have a very difficult problem in learning how to, just how far I should go with people. You know, I have tried, there was a girl years ago that we tried to befriend. She told us that she was an orphan. We found out later on that she was not. We had her in here. She so tormented us, and our pastors in our church. And just, all we wanted was to help her, and all she really had in mind was to take advantage of us and to get out of us what she could. And then there was a blind lady that I used to minister to, and I would go over there, and the more I did for her, the more she would keep adding to things she wanted me to do for her. And then when I told her I didn't have time, she said, well, just go on home. You're just like everybody else. You're not here to help me. And I've had people treat me really mean when all I have really wanted to do is love them and help them. But I think we have to know some kind of boundaries. Where to go, how far do we go with people? And another thing that bothers me is, how do we deal with telephone solicitations? I don't like to just say, just hang up on people. I say, I'm sorry, ma'am, we do not take telephone solicitations. Thank you. And I hang up. But I don't like to hang up on people. But these people will just aggravate you to death if you let them all day long. So how do we deal with these things?
Good questions, Lois. Hang up
and listen.
All right.
Yeah,
thanks for the call.
Yeah, there is a bundle of things in what she just talked about. We get this in the church, and I know every pastor, every church worker, professional church worker out there that works daily in the church building does get this same kind of thing. Only the other people that come off the street. That expect and anticipate you are going to help them the way they want to be helped, as far as the physical need that they have at the current time. You know, usually it's food or gas or something. And of course, our immediate suspicion is, if I provide them the food, if I provide them the gas, then the money that they actually get for whatever it is that they get from the government or wherever they're getting the money from will go to all the other things that they want to serve their habits or whatever they have going on in their lives, that you can usually pick up on when they come into your office or into the church. Everything from smoking to drugs to alcohol to all those kinds of things. So there is a battle there, and you have to be able to ask yourself, you know, what is best. The first thing, of course, that you need to do is always take everything to the Lord in prayer. Ask the Lord to guide you, to give you some kind of a leading to identify whether or not truly the service that you're giving is truly being, in some cases it's not always going to be easy. I mean, when the devil starts to get into the works and there is evil and you see that you're propagating someone's habit or someone's way of life that is truly against God and against everything that God is doing for that person, there are times when you have to make tough decisions, and you need to ask the Lord whether or not it's good stewardship of your time and of your effort to do those things for those people.
Well, you know, Jesus healed 10 lepers; only one came back and said thank you.
Right, and so the point is, you know, even though we may have helped someone and they're not appreciative of it, That doesn't mean that you've wasted your time. You've actually still been serving the Lord. You're still trying to serve your neighbor. And in all of that, regardless if they're thankful or not, you have done that.
Mm.
You have done that. You've served that person. And you've done what you could for them. But then there might be a point when you acknowledge and realize that there is advantage being taken of you're trying to help them, you're trying to be compassionate toward them, so forth, and you see that actually what you may be doing is propagating something that really is not helpful in that person's life. And the one lady actually told her that, you know, well, if you can't do more than that for me, then I guess that's what it's like.
The joy of loving your neighbor. Thank you.
Now, here's another. This is something that was kind of running through my head because I see this from people, and I kind of have to watch myself, too. Not kind of. I have to watch myself, too, because sometimes I believe that we have set up the boundaries and what we want to do in our service to others. And it's what's really kind of interesting is, can we actually be selfish in when I'm going to decide I'm going to help somebody, and when I'm deciding that this is what I'm going to decide to do, and I'll only do this. They can't expect me to do any more than that. Where we kind of limit ourselves in how we're going to serve people and how we're going to give of ourselves. And sometimes I kind of wonder if we do that. I've seen people, like, for example, that have gone out on mission trips. And then they come back, and they're just all excited about telling the newspaper what they did, telling everybody else what they did, showing a PowerPoint, see all the things that they got to do, and, of course, all in the name of the Lord. But the problem is, for me sometimes, is are they doing it truly for the Lord and for others, or really because they want to promote themselves their piety and how good they are?
We do get that scene in Scripture of the Pharisees hoisting their bags of coins and dropping them very loudly into the collection box at the temple. Yeah, we do get that scene.
Yep. And so there's kind of that danger.
Yeah.
And I say danger because that's not truly the spirit in which God wants us to live our lives toward neighbor and toward Him, is to somehow promote who we are and our goodness and our good works and all of those things too. But so, you know, as strange as that may sound, we can actually be sinning in what's going on in our hearts and minds. And especially, you know, do we anticipate to be thanked? I mean, you look at the leper, you know, story, and, you know, Christ was very, very grateful that he came back and thanked him. But he is God, you know.
Mm.
But the thing is that, you know, is that one of the goals that we're looking for? I think ultimately that comes, but I pray that our objective or our goal is to help bring someone to Christ through the work that God is having us do with them, so that they may see your good works and know your Father who's in heaven, you know, so that we are truly doing it for the objectives, goals, and reasons that God gives us, and that is truly being generated out of this love that we were talking about before, out of the compassion and out of all the other things that God gives us as tools to do His work here among His people.
If you take your Bible, look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why I'm not sensing Paul being a little bit double-minded here, because one minute he's saying, please your neighbor, and then you get to Galatians and he says, for am I now seeking the favor of men or God, or am I striving to please man? If I were trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So am I supposed to please my neighbor or not?
Well, what does that say there? What does that say to you? You know,
Well, remember, I'm the guy looking for loopholes, so you help me straighten out my vision here.
It's a great verse to run to, because, I mean, that's also running through my head, too, you know.
Yeah.
Are we seeking the approval of man or of God? You know, am I trying to please man?
I think that's what you were just talking about. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then that's what it comes down to. It's always what's the motive in the heart, you know. That's really what's involved here.
Is there humility
in the heart? Is there true compassion in the heart, or is there a sense of look at me and look what I do?
Yeah, that's why Paul says, "Please your neighbor for his good, not your own good."
Right.
To build him up, not to build you up.
And we can get there in a hurry. About, well, you know, I've been doing this for years. I have never had as much as a thank you. You know, I've heard people say that. I'm like looking at them like, wow, why are you doing
yeah,
this?
Yeah, well, you know, Pastor, you I no served as an elder for 12 years, and nobody so much as said thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
You mean, so evidently there was no joy in serving and to suffer that way and to keep doing it regardless of what people are saying, knowing that you can see the fruits of God's work through you. See, and that's the key. It's not your work. It's God's work being done through you.
All right.
Spirit, so.
Let's look at the stack of calls. Who do we want to go to? Let's go to Jan next. That would be a good choice. Jan in Atlanta. Jan, good morning.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor Dieter.
Hi, Jan.
I need your help with two passages. Leviticus 19:15 and 2 Corinthians 8, verses 12 and 13. And, you know, I know how Lois feels. I think about Jesus talking about the end time, and he says, because of the increase of wickedness, people's hearts have grown cold. So you're afraid to put yourself out there too far, and it is discouraging to do your best, make your best effort, but I think there's a distinction to be drawn between pleasing man and helping man. And I think that these two passages may shed some insight, but I'm not sure. What do you think?
Well, I see that the pleasing man and the helping man, you know, there definitely is a distinction there, for me anyway, as I look at that, because, again, it's what's in the heart. You know, why are you doing it? Why are you even helping this person? Why are you actually putting yourself out there for them? Is it because of what God has called you to be and to do in relationship with all people? Or are you doing it for other reasons? And the other reasons would be because I have my own box that I kind of put myself in. I have my own criteria of how I'm going to help other people. You know, God basically, you know, tells us that the Spirit will be with us, that he gives us the tools to do these things. Those who are evil are definitely going to reveal themselves, just as the one lady had suggested in her relationship, you know, where she felt like, I'm being taken advantage of. Well, if anyone's been taken advantage of, it would be Jesus. It would be Paul. Okay. It would be all those who have served God faithfully. And then, you know, if we're getting disgusted about that, if we're getting upset about that, and we're trying to take ownership on all of that, that's where I believe that the motive then is wrong that was in our heart to begin with. Because the whole motive should be to be a child of God, serving him and following his command of how he wants me to live his life, or how he wants me to live my life. If it comes out where, wow, it didn't look like that, all the work that I ever did for that person was even profitable at all, that's not our concern. The ultimate judge on all of what we do and all of what happens and whatever happens in the lives of those that we're even serving is all going to be up to God. We're just called to be there, to be these servants and to do the work regardless of the outcome. The outcome, just like, you know, was pointed out earlier, is not always going to be positive. You know, there's just going to be some that remain in their sin, that remain faithless, and those who just absolutely try to take advantage of Christians in their vulnerable state of trying to be a servant.
So what do you think about being partial to the poor or deferring to the great?
Partial in what sense?
Leviticus 19:15 sense.
Oh, where that there's so much evil going on around you that it's hard to even know who to help it anymore.
Yeah.
So we grow cold toward that. I'll tell you that. Yeah. I'll tell you, as a pastor, that's really hard for me, especially for people I've never met before that come up off the street and they have this story. And a lot of times the story doesn't even make sense because they're making it up as they're going along. And yet you're trying in your heart to try and believe that what they're telling you is true. It is really difficult. That's when I'm in prayer. I'm sitting there lifting up a prayer, even in the moment that's going on, and asking for God's guidance and leading. And I follow whatever I believe that my heart is trying to grasp hold of, and everything that God has told me in his word to be faithful to the task that's in front of me at that point. And, you know, sometimes I kick myself at some of the decisions that I've made.
Mm, yeah.
But at the same time, I ask for God to forgive me and give me the strength to really learn through what I just went through.
Jan, thanks for the call.
Sir.
Let's go to Bob next. Bob, you were anticipating my next question. Go ahead.
You know, there's some things that are practically where you can use your practical sense and you can actually have maybe a more beneficial effect, and that's one thing I found when I was working. I used to run into a lot of these guys that had a need. They would tell me they had a need, and so I got a hold of a bunch of cards that had the name of the welfare agencies in town who would help these kind of guys, but they also had people there who could tell who the shysters were, who was not really needing help. And I would hand those cards out to these guys, and they'd say, "Oh, no, I need money." I said, no, you go to here, and they'll give you help. They will assist you in recovering from whatever your problem is. And I found that was very effective. Mm-hmm. Or at least it was made my conscience feel better anyway, that I was trying to help them. Mm-hmm. And just giving them money, that I knew wasn't going to do any good. Mm-hmm. But giving them a card and directing them to real help was something that could really benefit them. And we used to do that with veterans. We had a deal where we put together a place where they could work and so on. And then we could actually give them help if they would accept the help. That was what was really the problem. So my advice is, if you're not really sure whether these guys are shysters or they're not, and you're running into a number of these people, get a card that has the name and address of, and make sure it's a local. Don't give them a name of some place that's off way off, but something that's local, something that they could actually use.
Yeah, I actually have a stack of those cards right here in my desk. I mean, that's exactly how we deal with that.
Yeah.
And you know what you're talking about there is being the best steward toward the person that you're trying to actually help. Because sometimes the people that you're trying to help are either one, trying to take advantage of you, or two, they really don't know what it is that they need. Sometimes, you know, that's the way we are too. I mean, that's exactly how we are in our sin. We don't even know we need a Savior until we're pointed out that this is what you really need. This is the kind of help you really need to have at this point. And so, you know, all that comes out of everything that you have learned and, you know, heard in God's Word about stewardship and management and relationships with other people. And so we all develop that. And that's why I say, you know, continue to pray about it. Always stay in the Word of God, because it will help you in identifying you know, those who have needs, and maybe even helping them to identify what their needs truly are.
Half a minute left. Do we ever get to write anyone off, whether it's a theological difference or a need, you know, like a beggar that we've been talking about? Do we ever get to write anyone off?
I'm not quite following you there. What do you mean, writing them off?
Well, just not deal with them anymore. Or is the mercy expressed to us in Christ on the cross something that compels us to, well, we have to deal with everyone?
I think God gives us a portion of time as part of the stewardship that we have in our serving others. And you need to ask yourself whether or not where you're at in relationship to helping someone is truly a good stewardship of your time, or could you be doing other things that are truly beneficial to others in God, in this world as well, you know, in a relationship to God.
Pastor Curtis Dieterding serves at Trinity Lutheran Church in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, regular here on the Bible Study. We thank you again for your time. Another good lesson. I'm impressed with you guys. You're doing a great job. Thank you, my friend. Blessed Advent to you. All right, guys, up next, Faith and Family. Don't forget Mark Hawkinson, Moments of Assurance at noon. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study programs at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.